Thank you for the opportunity to speak a few words with you this evening. Before we do that, let's bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, thank you for the joy of this evening, for song, for voices lifting up praise. Thank you for the celebration that is the birth of your Son Jesus into this world. Thank you for your word and for the message. May you bless your words to us now as we ask them in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So many years ago, as a matter of fact, in 1943, Bing Crosby recorded a song called I'll Be Home for Christmas. And since then, the song has been recorded by countless others, including Frank Sinatra and Michael Bublé, Josh Groban. And part of the lyrics go like this: I'll be home for Christmas, you can count on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. And it's amazing, but we have this homing device, you know, that is sort of tripped every year at about this time. It causes us to have this desire to do anything to get home. People will fly, people will drive, people will walk, people will do anything just to get home for Christmas. Now, sadly, a lot of people this year will not be home for Christmas. Think about the military stationed around the world. Or there's a loved one who will not be home for Christmas this year. Maybe they're in the hospital, or they've recently passed away and you have wrapped one less gift this year, or there will be an empty chair around the dinner table. And maybe you've never thought about it exactly this way, but no one was at home during that first Christmas. The wise men were not at home. They'd taken this incredible road trip from the far east, and they were following the star which was hovering over the Christ child. The shepherds were not at home. They were pulling an all-nighter, sipping coffee and watching their flock in the field. Mary and Joseph were not at home. They were from Nazareth, remember, and they found themselves in Bethlehem because of a census. And verse 5 says, Joseph went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And then it says, while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have the baby, and she gave birth to her first son. Because there were no rooms left in the inn, she wrapped the baby with pieces of cloth and laid him in a feeding trough. She gave birth in a stable, and she laid Jesus in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And so in a real way, Jesus himself was not at home for Christmas either. He left the glory and the splendor of heaven to be born into this world. And since the inn was full, God made room for Jesus in the humble manger, and Mary laid him on a bed of hay. Now, for the last few weeks, we have been talking about making room. Making room for God in the inn. The inn of our hearts, the inn of our lives, making room for God in our relationships, making room for hope, making room in our community, making room for the stranger. And I think a big part of making room for God is to be home for Christmas, but maybe not in the way that you might be thinking. By the way, when I say, you know, the word home, what do you think about? What does it mean for you when you say home? Do you think about family? Do you think about a certain location? Can you remember the sights and the sounds and the smells of home? Or maybe home has to do with some of your traditions. right? Like, do you open your gifts on Christmas Day, like some people say you should? Or do you cheat and open them on Christmas Eve, right? Now, we open them on Christmas Eve because that's the way we grew up in South Africa. Or are you a fake tree family? Or are you a real tree family? Maybe you cook a particular meal each Christmas. Maybe when you think about home, you think of security and feeling safe. Home is your sanctuary. What is home like for you? Making room for God and embracing the true meaning of Christmas is to make sure that you are home for Christmas. But home in the truest sense of the word. Because you see, some of us may be home in one sense, but not at home in another sense. And what I'm saying is, a lot of people are home, but they're not really home. You're home physically, yes. You have the address, the location. You know where home is, and you'll be there this Christmas. Maybe you're at home emotionally with the tree and the trimmings and the relatives and the feelings and the festivities and the traditions and all of that. But you're not home or at home in the truest sense of the word. Because what is most important is that God wants you to be home for Christmas this year. You see, ultimately, Christmas is about God coming to earth. Christmas is about Jesus breaking into this world to do what? To come and prepare the way so that we're able to ultimately be home with God. Christmas is about the Savior who paved the way home to our Heavenly Father. Christmas is about Jesus Christ who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Christmas is about making room for God in our lives and coming home to God. And that's my prayer for you this Christmas, that you will come home to God in the truest sense of the word through Jesus, born as the Savior. Because if you do that, your location changes. You still have a home here, of course, but your ultimate home will be in heaven. And Jesus came at Christmas to prepare your way to heaven. Christmas is about God offering you the opportunity to be home with Him in heaven. Jesus said to His disciples, "Don't be worried. Have faith in God and have faith in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. And I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you. And after I've done this, I will come back and take you with me. And then we will be together." The Bible says Jesus gave His life for your sins on the cross, and He went to prepare a room for you in His Father's home so that you can go where He is when you believe and trust in Him. And also, to be home for Christmas, in the truest sense of the word, means your family changes. You know, we have this verse in Romans 8, and it says, God's Spirit doesn't make us slaves who are afraid of Him. Instead, we become His children, and we call Him our Father. God's Spirit makes us sure that we are His children. So being home for Christmas means you are part of God's family. But let me illustrate the truth of this verse by telling you a quick story of a couple who adopted a little boy. And the man says, "My wife and I waited 15 years for a child that never came by the natural way. And however, we were approached one day with a lead of a newborn not yet born. And I remember standing in front of the judge on our day of adoption. And he pointed his finger and he asked me, Is anyone coercing you to adopt this little boy? After we had assured him that we were doing so out of love for our son, he made this statement. From today on, he is your son. He may disappoint you or even grieve you, but he is your son. Everything you own one day will be his, and he will bear your name. And then the judge looked to the clerk and gave this command. So order a change in this child's birth certificate and may it reflect that these are the parents of this child. And it was then, he says, that I realized that my Heavenly Father, that God, loved me that much. That without coercion, he loved me. And he adopted me into his family to love me forever. And on that day, he changed my name and forgave my past. And he gave me a new life. And I will belong to him forever. Let me see, how many of you are going to have some people over to your house tomorrow? Only one of you. So when you hear that doorbell ring, right, or that knock on the door, do you ever look outside and say to yourself, I just don't feel like letting them in? Uncle Bill, I mean, he's so annoying, right? Aunt Susie, I mean, she just talks too much. I'm sure we're going to disagree on politics again. So I'm just not, you know, I'm not going there this Christmas. I mean, have you ever thought that? Anybody? Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. We have one honest person in the house. I love this verse from Revelation. It says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you. And you will eat with me. So think about this. Opening the door of heaven so that we can go in was a gift that cost God everything. And yet Jesus, by his grace, offers us everything. He offers us this indescribable gift of coming home to God. And he's standing there knocking. And he's knocking through circumstances, and he's knocking through relationships, and he's been knocking on the door of your life even through this service. And if you've never done it, why don't you come home for Christmas? Why don't you make room for God in the inn of your heart? Why don't you open the door and let Christ into your life? Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is knocking and you control the door, okay? Don't look out and say, oh no, it's him again. Don't say, well, Jesus, before I open the door of my life, I've got to clean house and make sure everything is good first. He wants to meet you right where you are. He loves you. You matter to him. And he's been seeking. And he's been knocking. And he's not going to kick the door in. He's going to wait for you to open the door. And when you open the door, you will know what it means to be truly at home. So this Christmas, why don't you make room for God? Why don't you say for the first time or again, Jesus, come into my home and make yourself at home. Why don't you come home for Christmas? Amen. Let us pray. God, thank you that ultimately Christmas is about you coming to earth in the form of your son Jesus and paving the way opening the way for us to be home with you forever. May we all open that gift and invite your Son who's knocking at the door of our hearts. May we invite him in. May we make room for you in our hearts and our lives and our homes. May we all come home this year for Christmas. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.